I love it. Good morning, saints. You look fantastic. You always do. Super excited to get to share with you this morning. We're going to talk about confession and kind of a wild thing to be excited about, but honestly, I really am. But I want us to begin with some prayer. Something very cool happened this morning. And here's what it is. King's Grace just got a new pastor. And for those of you that don't know, King's Grace is another church here in Junction City. They love Jesus. They're awesome. They're wonderful kingdom partners. In fact, their pastor who just stepped out and the new pastor who stepped in, their pastor, Gordon Johnson, he was actually a part of Christ Center years ago. And then they planted King's Grace afterwards. And so we've been partners for a long time. But Pastor Gordon is preparing to go and be with the Lord. He's having some health issues. And also, he's like, how old is he, Red? 82. Yeah, so he's 82. Still somewhat young, but his health is failing. And so Pastor Dave Kaufman, who also used to be a pastor at Christ Center, was coming on as their senior pastor. And then the Lord called him home. So then he's home. So then they had an interim pastor that they loved. And they were like, this guy's amazing. Will you please be our pastor? And he said, we would love to, but our grandies don't live here. And then he's having health issues. So he had to step out earlier. So they've been through a lot. But the Lord has provided a pastor for them. And his name is Ronnie Roberts. And so Pastor Ted from First Baptist here in Junction City and myself went to be there and witness and pray and bless the installment of their new pastor, Ronnie Roberts. So here's what I want us to do, because how many of you guys know there is one church, one family, amen? And I like to think of it as like, right, we've got the children of Israel, but there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's a lot of tribes. One family, lots of tribes. So Christ Center is a really good tribe. I love you, my tribal people, and I mean that in a good way. But we are also part of a larger family. So let's bless the tribe of King's Grace. So will you just reach your hands out? They're over here on the corner by Safeway. And we're going to pray. Lord God, we thank you for King's Grace and their faithfulness in our city. Lord, we thank you for our shared history, our shared present, and our shared future. And we bless you, Pastor Ronnie, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and King's Grace would fulfill everything that God has called for you to fulfill in this season. We bless the eldership, we bless the families, we bless the teachers, we bless every, I want to say citizen, but we bless every member, that's the word, every member of King's Grace. And Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who worship at King's Grace. Receive the blessing of the Lord in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You guys are awesome. All right, well, let's jump in here. We got some great stuff. So we've been continuing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that we are apprentices of Christ. And so if we have begun by being introduced to Christ through praying, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And if you've done that, you are saved. You have been bought with a price. Salvation is a free gift that was purchased on your behalf by Jesus Christ. You have now become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now, as a follower of Christ, you are apprenticing and learning how to live like he lived. If you and I are following our rabbi, Jesus Christ, our teacher, then we're learning how to talk, how to walk, how to eat, how to sleep, how to love, how to be just like Jesus. Can you receive that? And so that's the series that we've been on right now, and many of you are meeting in homes, and we've been following along and practicing being followers of Christ. And how many of you guys know that we're going to keep practicing being followers of Christ until Jesus comes and creates a new heaven and a new earth where we live forever? And for those that don't like God, they don't have to live forever. They can opt out if they want to. But for those of us that do love God, we want to live forever, and we want to kind of fit in. Does anybody want to fit in when we can see Jesus face to face? I mean, right? We love this guy. We want to hang out with him. So we're learning how to live according to Jesus' teachings and according to the kingdom. So today, one of the things that God has given us as a practice is confession. So let me just begin here with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the apostle says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. There's a transformation that's happening as we're being apprentices of Jesus, that we're coming out of this place that we live, this water that we swim in. How many of you guys know that you are being discipled by our culture every single day if you allow it? There's no space where you're going to go that there isn't a current of culture that's pushing you along in a certain way. So you're either becoming, honestly, countercultural to the world and becoming a follower of Jesus and a kingdom person, a kingdom citizen, which means going against the natural flow of the culture. How many of you have ever been in a river, right? You jump in the river and you're like, I'm just going to swim across that river. And it looks like it's barely moving. And then you get in and you're like, oh, whoa. And you start swimming. Ah! And by the time you get out, you are like way down the river. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That is what culture is like. That is what culture is like. And so you and I are learning how to walk according to the gospel of the kingdom as opposed to just being carried along with the current of this culture. And how many of you guys know where the culture is going apart from Christ?
Downhill.
Death. But yes, that was good. I like that. Come on. Come on. Was that Kathy Stott? Who was that? That was so good. God bless you. God bless you, saint, whoever you are. So how do we do that? Well, we do it in many different ways we've been talking about. We're learning how to step out of the busyness and the self-madeness and the worship of material things, of wealth, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, by taking a day and celebrating, resting, and receiving from the Lord and understanding everything I have is a gift, including this life, including this breath that I have. And we're learning how to be in the scriptures. We're learning all of these different things. And today, one of the things that I want to reintroduce to you is that we as believers are invited into the practice of confession. Now, the thing about confession, because we're gonna get into this a little bit more, but the thing about confession is that confession in the safety of community, confession restores you and your heart and your conscience back to the standard of righteousness and relationship. We took communion today, and it's interesting. And one of the things that communion reminds us of is that you and I, when we were baptized into Christ, we didn't just come in as an individual, just me and the Lord and no more. We actually were baptized into his family. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am your family. Following Christ is not an individual sport. It is a family sport. We are in this thing together. And when we sin, saints, when we sin against God, we not only sin against God, we sin against ourselves. And when we sin against ourselves, we also drag our family along with us. It has an effect on the people around you. And so when I take the standard, and what is the standard? Love God with all your heart, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as Christ has loved them. That's how we know we're believers of God, is that we do just that. We love him with all our heart, strength, and mind. And which means, Lord, you're the standard setter. I don't get to decide what the standard is. I have to ask God the Father who created me, Father, what does your standard look like? And he goes, well, look at my son Jesus. There's a whole book about what he has to say about that and how he lived. You live like that. That's what the standard looks like. So then it's an objective, righteous, holy standard that he gave, not my current social, societal, economical, whatever other cultural made-up thing, it's actually his reality. And that's what you and I are aligning ourselves with. So what happens when we fall short of that standard? Not only do we violate our connection with the Lord in how we view him, it doesn't change how he views us, but it changes how I view him, but also I violate our covenant together that I'm going to love you like Jesus loves you, that I'm going to take responsibility for my influence, my responsibility in our lives together. And so I've broken something. And if I love you, I have to own my part in that. And confession does that. Confession does that. You guys tracking so far?
Yes.
It's an incredible thing. Now, when, okay, anybody in here ever sinned? Good job. This was a really important test. Some of you didn't raise your hands, so you have now sinned, liars. So we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, here's the interesting thing about when we do sin. And there's another part of this that I'm going to get to that's also part of confession. But right now I'm talking about the sin part of confession. We've fallen short of the standard of love. We've fallen short of what God has said. And if any of you have ever dealt with addiction, which addiction is part of my testimony, it's part of my story, it's part of my ongoing walk of staying in a place of health and wholeness in those areas. But have you ever noticed that when you give into something that you were trying really hard not to do, right? All the, like, you know, you ate the whole cake again, right? Whatever that cake might be, you were like, ah, I swore I wasn't going to do it, but I'm just going to have one slice. And so then you're like, oh, that was really, I feel really bad. I just told people, my wife, my friends, I wasn't going to eat the cake anymore. And you feel terrible, but you haven't confessed yet. So you're like, well, I don't want to waste this open shame ticket that I've got. I might as well have like one more slice before I confess. Because I'm still, anybody here even know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you have like this, does anybody like the term open shame ticket? Yeah, isn't that what it's like? You're just like, oh, I feel horrible, God, please forgive me. But also, oh, am I already cutting another piece? There's something that happens when I come and I confess to another brother or sister that I've got relationship with, that suddenly now the standard is restored. I get rid of the cake. I don't have the cake sitting in my house anymore. It's like, you know what, guys? And then also, if your friends know you, then they ask, because you're like, oh, I had the cake. They're like, okay, thank you for telling me. God forgives you. Jesus' blood has redeemed you, and the standard is restored. You, because of what Christ did, are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your identity has not changed. You are restored to the standard, not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done. And as you confess your sins, 1 John says, little ones, let's just bring up 1 John. We'll just walk through this. 1 John, we're going to read 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light and there's absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. If we walk in light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's a key right there. If you and I are walking in the light and there's no one else in my life, you don't have fellowship with anyone else. All you've got is acquaintances. You're not in the light yet. Say ouch or amen. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now catch this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. There's enough atonement in Christ Jesus for all of us that when we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive. Isn't that good? And so I confess my sin. I ate a slice from the cake, and the person says, little one, Christ has atoned for that sin. Good job bringing it into the light. I have a question for you, Joshua. Yes. Did you get the cake out of your house yet? No. Okay, let's go ahead and... right? This is part of this. It restores the standard. You're letting someone else in your life to not only be a witness of the standard being restored in Christ, but also to be a witness of who you are called to be in Christ. Confession, it releases us from the power and the shame that that sin has over us, but it also invites us into a conversation with those that we have relationship with to be able to bring us into the practice of being the righteousness of God. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that will not happen alone. Alcoholics Anonymous has a saying, and it's fantastic, and it's this: you are only as sick as the secrets you keep. You are only as sick as the secrets you keep. If there aren't a couple of people in your life that know your whole story, you are still in a measure of shame and bondage right now. Because the enemy is continuing to let you know that if you told another human your whole story, you would be rejected, rightfully rejected. That's what he tells you. And until you take this step, you will continue to experience a certain level of insecurity and fear of being fully known. And that's why confession is an invitation not only to restoration of the standard, but into an intimacy with God that you do not yet have, because the measure of intimacy with God that you currently have is evidenced in your ability to have intimacy with others. And there needs to be at least one person that knows your whole story, that can look you in the eyes and say, yes, you did that. I hear you. I'm a witness. And I'm also a witness that he said, little ones, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive. And when they stand as a witness, when you have someone, there's a couple people in my life. Actually, there's three people in my life. No, I have to say four because my wife's on there too, but I was thinking of my brothers. But there are three brothers and my wife that know my entire story. I'm blessed to have three people. You don't have to have three. But they know my whole story. And I cannot tell you the weight that was lifted from me when I shared the worst of the worst. You don't go share the worst of the worst with everyone, guys. This is a trusted, sacred place where you have someone who understands this, but one person needs to know your whole story. They need to know your deepest struggles. They need to know who you are and who you hope to be. They need to know all of it and be able to look you in the face and say, I'm a witness that you are loved by God, and I'm a witness that I too love you. And God himself has atoned for your grievous sins. And they don't try to make you feel better about it. But, oh, no, you weren't in your right mind. Oh, baby, no, sweetie, we all have a... No, they just listen and then they say, thank you for sharing that with me. Now I want to tell you the truth. The Father has forgiven you through Jesus Christ. Those were grievous things. But I stand as a witness that Christ forgives you. And did you take the cake out of your house? There's some follow-up, but are you with me? And I remember the first time that I told one of these people all of it. I didn't know how much God loved me until that day. There was another level of freedom that happened where I could look at him. You know, in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing that happened was they hid from God. God's not hiding from me. I'm hiding from God. I've got my little fig leaves on. What you doing? Oh, nothing. It's just fashion. Oh, that must have just stuck to me. But once we do this, there's a freedom. And then there's a freedom to be invited into the fullness of what God has for us. Because the other thing that confession brings is it... Oh, I have one more point I want to make about this on this side, and then I want to get to righteousness, and we've got a great interview coming up. Part of confession, and this just got reintroduced to me the other day. I got to go teach it at Celebrate Recovery. And I just want to remind you guys, by the way, Celebrate Recovery is a phenomenal ministry. And Thursday nights, Christ Center actually is a partner that helps, and we host a Celebrate Recovery. Thursday nights, you go there, dinner's at 5:15, I think. And we have dinner together, and then there's there's a class and have some time of worship, but one of the thing, and they go through the 12 steps, but they also, but they have scriptural backing that go alongside with it. It is phenomenal. Lives are getting changed. And I got to teach at Willamette Christian Junction City Campus. So right here on Laurel. And I was there teaching, and I got to teach, and this was something that was just like, you know how you've known something, but then you hear it again, you're like, I knew that, but I don't know if I was listening. And here's what it was. It was talking about in the space of confession, in the space of dealing with the besetting sins or addictions or habits, hurts, or hangups that we keep coming back to. Oftentimes, we're willing to get rid of the hurt, the hangup, or the habit. We're tired of that part. We're like, this is terrible. I hate this. This doesn't go well for me ever. I mean, it's momentarily pleasurable, but then it's just terrible. That's the reason why I'm here, is to work on this. I don't want to do it anymore. But that is usually the problem that's been created because of the root. And when you begin the process of confession, part of this freedom that is so beautiful is upstream of those things that we're ashamed of is something. The language that would be used in the 12 steps program would be a character defect. It's something that I don't want to let go of yet. It's something that I actually it's just been part of my operating process. It's something that I'm like, but I'm really trying really hard to fulfill that. And it's like, well, that thing is the reason why you keep ending up over here. And when you begin to invite people into your life and you begin to share your story, they actually help you start to lay hold of the rest of what's going on. Are you with me? They start inviting you to go, well, that's interesting, and I hear that, and the Lord has forgiven this, but I would like to invite you to listen more deeply. I would like to suggest to you that there's something upstream of this thing that you currently confessed that is itself the root problem. There's a freedom that happens in relationship when we open our lives up to one another. And so for me, I'll share mine, because the Lord just put his finger on it, so I'll just confess to you all, and then I don't have to be alone with somebody. Just kidding. In every joke, there's a little bit of joke. Okay. For me, the desire not to do what's right, I do want to do what's right, but I'm talking to you about a character defect, and I'm getting really scared and vulnerable right now, so now I'm just going to say it. The desire to be admired is a character defect that God has to work on in me that I consistently have to bring back to him. It's the same sin Satan had, by the way, so at least I picked a good one. It's okay to want to do the right thing. It's okay to represent God's image. It's not okay to be committed to the desire to be admired. I'm loved by the Father. That has to be enough for me. And this is upstream of some of these other things that come knocking on my door when life gets hard. So my question for you is, will you begin to allow people into your life and begin the practice of confession? Because we each have things that God wants us to be set free from. And if we'll come into the light, you'll experience a greater intimacy, a greater understanding of your identity, and a greater freedom than you've yet experienced. Amen? So I'm going to have Jason and Pastor Mark and Pastor Jason come up here, and they're just going to share a little bit of what this looks like in action, a couple little case studies, and then we'll have some prayer ministry time at the end.
Hey, guys.
This is not a role play.
That
is not where we're going.
No, that was very, very real what happened earlier with Aaron's address. Because I've been to his house a million times, but I don't actually know his address. So it was true. Mark.
But I know Andrew's, and he lives right next door.
Anyway, Mark. It's so funny how quiet everything is today. You start talking about something like this, and
I have to correct something. The lights are different because he fixed the LEDs.
Thank you.
It is different.
Thank you, Mark. About confession. You shared with me a story the other day about confession. Can you share that again?
Little bit of backstory. When I moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, it was a year before Kristen and I got married. And in that time, any hold that pornography or anything like that had on me was taken away. I was able to walk in an amazing purity. And I think part of the reason God blessed me with that miraculous gift of removing any sense of addiction there was that was something that my wife needed because of the betrayal she'd experienced. And about 5 years into our marriage, my mom had just died. I'd gone down to San Luis Obispo with Kristen, and we did another memorial service down there, at the end of which my dad, I had to take him to the hospital. It looked like a heart attack. Turned out, I think, to be anxiety and exhaustion. And so I delayed another day, and Kristen flew home, and I went back to the house of the people we were staying at. I was using the bathroom, and I look up, and there's a magazine over sticking out the top of this cabinet. And I'm like, huh. And I grabbed that, and it was a pornographic magazine. And I found myself someplace I didn't expect to be because I hadn't been seeking it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I've just reengaged with something that I know would be devastating to Kristen. And I also know Kristen is really, really big on the truth. And hiding that lie from her, or trying to hide that lie from her, is going to create a level of misery. I don't know how I'll be able to walk that out. And so I actually called her and told her what I'd done. And that moment, I was worried where things were going to go. I had a lot of fear about the rejection I might experience, because that's one of my deep things. But I think because I came to her in truth and in tenderness, that's the only time that's gotten that far with me. That having confessed it to her so it wasn't hidden kept that extra slice or that shame ticket from being in my life, in that area in my life. And it's allowed me to walk through a lot of other things. And I am not saying that I have other areas where I haven't had flaws, where I've needed tremendous help. I think that's what allows me to lead in the men's group. But in this area, for Kristen's sake, that one, if I hadn't confessed it then, I don't know what it would have done to the ministry I have today. I don't know if I could have gotten where I am.
Yeah. So confession, you talk about bringing something outside. You had an interesting thought about that, about when we keep a thing inside of us versus outside. Can you explain that?
So going a little bit back to what Joshua was sharing, that God's designed us to be in community, that the enemy's tactic is to get us isolated. And I would say one of his number one tools is shame. And secrets are the fertilizer and the fuel for shame. That when I have something about me or something I've done that I keep secret, the enemy now starts taking that thing that I've done and starts making it my identity. And now my identity starts becoming, I'm this person of darkness, I'm this person of anger, I'm this person of rage, I'm this person of perversion, or whatever that label is, and I can't pull that out of myself. And I start resting in shame. And when I am in shame, I'm in survival mode. And the first thing I do is I push everyone that's close to me away. And in that place, I am vulnerable and I am incapable of growing or healing because I keep pulling the darkness around myself to try to hide. And I think you guys can't see it. But if you know someone that you're close with that's experiencing that, you know that they're hiding from you.
Yeah. So by confessing it, you're moving it from outside, or from inside to outside, where it's no longer a part of you. You can say, that thing happened. Mm-hmm. It is not me, but I did that thing, and I need to confess to it, and it removes that shame element.
So for me, anger and rage were how I fought bullies, because I was bullied so much growing up. Right. And then it kept impacting my marriage, and I didn't think that I was at fault, because I was in shame. I was protecting myself, and I used anger and rage to do it. And finally, the evidence became so big, it was clear that I was the problem. And I actually remember sitting down with Ed Gillespie at a Thai restaurant on Franklin Boulevard. It's amazing how certain moments are clarified in your mind. And he looked at me and said, Mark, you're not an angry man. You're a good man, but you've got an anger problem. And it was the first time someone had spoken about this thing I was struggling with as it being something I was contending with, as opposed to it being a piece of my character.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You guys see the difference there? It's really beautiful. As you shared that testimony we started with of the magazine and confessing with your wife, you're dealing now with all the men's groups, and for those who maybe haven't been around very long, we have a lot of men's groups that deal with this issue of sexual addiction. And in that situation, that was like fully appropriate. I know the finding someone to confess to, that's a tricky situation, and it's not always the healthiest thing to go to your wife in that kind of situation. But as we were talking about...
Can I clarify that?
Yes, please.
And the reason for that is there's a tendency for us to learn that if I confess something, I feel better. But you're asking somebody to pick up that burden with you when you do that confession. So when I'm confessing, like Joshua was talking, he's got three men and a woman in his life, his wife, who he confesses things to, that we want to be careful who we confess to, because we want an accountability partner who will walk alongside with us and help us look at it. And if the area I am confessing directly impacts a person I love, they can't be objective. And it's not fair for them to carry the burden of my sin. So I need to have somebody else that I'm confessing to who's helping me walk through that. That doesn't mean I don't need to disclose things or I keep everything a secret from my spouse, usually. But we want to do it in a way that's respectful and honoring, and they know they're not having to carry it. And so we're not using them to carry our burden, but we're still being transparent with them.
Yeah, I think that's a really helpful point. As we're talking about getting this thing on the outside, this, of course, is a major issue that you guys are dealing with particularly in those groups. But there's other things, as you mentioned, for you, it might be anger, or like there's different things that are so necessary to get out and to confess, because it gets them on the outside, and because it sort of diffuses the shame. But people find other ways to try to diffuse shame other than confession, and it doesn't work often. What have you seen? What are some of the tendencies?
Well, one of the things is, and you've probably seen this, if I've got shame, I've got a place in me I know is dark. And I'm saying this that like our subconscious, a part of us knows, these aren't necessarily conscious decisions we're making, because shame takes us in this place of reaction mode. So when I'm there, and I've got this dark thing I don't want you to see, well, it's on my left side, so I'm going to show you the right side of my face. See how shiny and good? And look at all the good things I'm doing over here, and look what I'm doing right here. And I start doing things. In fact, I think it increases legalism.
Yeah.
Because I can now go and say, here's all the good things I'm doing, so therefore you must see me as good. And I'm striving to show myself as good, and I'm presenting to you a self that's truly not me. Because the reality is, I'm now pretending to be somebody I'm not because I'm trying to hide so much. And I'm actually double-minded now because I'm trying to carry the truth that I do good things and this other truth, which is I'm a horrible, no-good person. And they don't exist in the same body very well at the same time.
So trying to diffuse the shame through half-truths or look at the shiny side ultimately are doomed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that we were talking about the other day, I think sometimes people, when they hear confession, they think, "Oh, that's a Catholic thing, so that's not for us. I just go straight to Jesus." And you should go straight to Jesus. But why is it not enough to confess to God and not to someone else?
Well, to start off with, God already knows. it's not a surprise. The other thing is. I think we need, well, he designed us for community.
Yeah.
And I can't, when I have unconfessed sin, it takes me out of community because I've done something to break that tie. And bringing it back into the light, yeah. I now am in a place of community. So when I'm, and I want to, I think Joshua said, I want to say it again, there's things that are safe to confess to the all, but there's things that we need to confess to people that have been, that we know and we trust, and that they're not going to use that as a tool against us. Yeah. But when I confess that, now we're looking at it together, and it's like this, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Somehow, if I confess something I'm doing to you, that burden doesn't go on to you. That burden goes on to Jesus, but now you can walk alongside me in a way that I've got someone that sees my darkness, but also sees me as a man of God and sees where God is taking me, not just what the enemy's trying to hide.
So confess your sins to one another, and you will be
set free.
It's a beautiful thing. This is something that he's actually called us to do, not just to talk to him, but to confess it to one another. And I think it's a beautiful design. So thank you, Mark.
I think I want to add, in just closing on that.
Yeah, please do.
Is that one of our deepest desires, I think, is to be known and accepted. And when we confess, and then somebody looks at us and says, I know you, and I love you, like Jesus loves you, even though you've got that flaw, there's just such a relief.
Amen. Pastor Joshua?
As we're continuing to move forward together, you know, we did talk about sin, and it is about sin, but we're also spurring one another on towards becoming like Christ. So we are quickly set free. Uh-oh, hang on. Having some sinful issues in our wireless mics today. We want to confess that to you, that the Lord would heal it quickly. So I'm going to end with this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm going to read it to you again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And so that involves the release of the things that we do not do, that God says, this is a no for you, but also that spur us on towards what we are doing. Wesley, who founded the Methodists, and can we have the ministry team come up as I'm finishing up right now? Please get up and come on up here, ministry team. But he had what they called were bands of people. They had weekly classes, but then they called them a band. And it was a few people that would come together, and they would ask each other these five questions. The first question, what known sins have you committed since our last meeting? It's like, okay. Like, if you know that's coming, that probably changes your behavior a little. What temptations have you met with? How many of you guys know temptation is not sin, but even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How were you delivered? That's the third question. How were you delivered from that temptation? The fourth, what have you thought, said, or done of which you doubt whether it might be a sin or not? Right? There's those gray areas like, gosh, that feels kind of funky. Or maybe like, I don't know, was that okay? And you talk it over with one another. And how many of you guys know things come to the light when you're with others? There's something that you might be justifying that somebody would go, dude. And you're like, I knew that. You're right. But I needed to be with somebody. Otherwise, I was going to go get that cake. Okay. And then the last one, do you have anything that you're trying to keep a secret? This is the last question. So as these bands would get together, but I love this, that you know that you're going to have people that are calling out the gold in you, calling out your identity in you, calling you back to what we're all called to do. And it involves the confession of sin, but it also involves the ongoing work of being transformed. Amen? A guy named Neil Cole summarized into two those questions, which I liked. What is God telling you to do? What are you going to do about it? Those are a couple of great questions. But I just offer that to you as you're beginning to allow the Lord to work in you. Do I have these people in me that I can confess my sin to when I do sin, but also that I'm fully known and growing, and Christ is growing in me. Amen? So I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. I'm going to pray over you. But for those of you that need or desire a ministry, please come forward. We want to bless you in the ministry that you've been called to. And so however we can bless you, we want to do it. If there are myriad things, coming up here and getting prayer does not mean that you're a broken, needy saint that now is walking in front of everyone and saying, I must have done something terrible and everyone knows it. Ministry time is a part of who we are as the body, and we're going to assume you're going up there because you are powerful, and you love Jesus, and you're engaged in the ministry that he's called you to, and you're making sure that you can keep living out the call on your life. That's the assumption if you're coming up for prayer at any and all times, okay? So I just want to make sure that you know that that's what we think when we see anyone come up for ministry. We're like, oh, praise God, they're going strong, and they're not letting anything hold them back. Amen? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you and give you shalom. God bless you guys. Have a great week.